The grace of Jesus Christ, the mercy of the Holy One, and the Spirit of the living God be with you all. Let us pray. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, most merciful Redeemer, for the countless blessings and benefits you give. May we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day praising you with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading is from 1 Samuel. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel!" And he said, "Here I am." And ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli, but Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 139 responsively. Lord, you have searched me out. O Lord, you have known me.
You know
my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You trace my journeys and my resting places, and are acquainted with all my ways. Indeed, there is not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it all together. You encompass me behind and before, and lay your hand upon me.
Such
knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. For you yourself created my inmost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will thank you because I am marvelously made, and your works are wonderful. Know it well. My body was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my limbs, yet unfinished in the womb. All of them were written in your book. My days were fashioned before they came to me. How deep I find your thoughts, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would be more in number than the sand. To count them all, my lifespan would need to be like yours. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall become one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not, your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to John. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Now, Christmas and Epiphany are all put away, save a few poinsettias that retain their beauty. I'm impressed at our poinsettias. Green pyramids are back, sign of focusing our attention in this time on growth, the growth of the church. This is the year of listening to the Gospel of Mark. But Mark is such a short gospel, we get a few gospels from John thrown in along the way. This time of the church year is called the time after Epiphany. Nothing special about it. It's rather ordinary. Ordinary time, no special feast, no special celebrations until the Feast of the Transfiguration in about 6 weeks. Lots of people don't like ordinary. We're encouraged from the time we're pre-preschool to be special. to be the best, to stand out in something or stand out in everything. But truth be told, most of us are rather ordinary people, living rather ordinary lives. But there doesn't have to be anything ordinary about being ordinary. This season of Epiphany is ordinary, but as we reflect on the very ordinary ways that God enters our lives, we see our ordinary lives become extraordinary. God with us, the incarnation, can never be ordinary. We heard the story of the young Samuel living and working with the old Eli. This was a rather ordinary situation, and yet something quite extraordinary happened. Jesus' appearance was rather ordinary. Nathanael remarked, "Nothing extraordinary can come from Nazareth." Our gospel reading started out, I think, in such a strange way. The verse starts, "And the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee." Well, what happened the day before? Where was he? What was going on? When we start out saying the next day, I want to know what happened the previous day. Well, the previous day, Jesus was near the Jordan River, where John the Baptist was baptizing. And Jesus' appearance was so unremarkable that John had to point him out to his followers. "Look, there's the Lamb of God." And then something remarkable happened. The two disciples heard this and they followed Jesus. Nathanael, not believing that Jesus of Nazareth could be anything other than ordinary, hears Jesus' call and knows him to be Rabbi, Son of God, King of Israel. But I think the most ordinary, extraordinary thing that we hear in the gospel, in the readings today, these three readings that we have, I think what Paul writes to the Corinthians sounds most surprising and extraordinary, at least to us ordinary folks. We are just regular, ordinary people, and yet, through baptism, we are members of the body of Christ. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And how extraordinary is that? These three scriptures, the extraordinary is not apparent. At first, Eli and Samuel misunderstand the voice that Samuel hears in the middle of the night. St. Paul rebuked the Christians in Corinth who had lost sight of their dignity. Nathanael saw nothing unusual about Jesus. These people were only aware of the obvious. Are we so different from these biblical people? We often do not look beyond the surface, and so we miss the extraordinary. We miss the extraordinary in the voices of people who call us to do great things, to sacrifice for our children, or to give ourselves to our aging parents. We don't recognize Jesus in the thoughtful people that we work with, the honest people with whom we do business, the understanding people who help us in such simple ways, the ordinary people with whom we work and live. We miss the fact that that is Jesus. It takes a bit of effort, but just a bit, to attune our ears to hear the voice of God. It takes a bit of effort, but only a bit, to adjust our seeing so that we recognize Jesus in our midst. It takes a bit of effort, but only a bit, to remember our baptism and to know ourselves as the body of Christ, to know ourselves as temple of the Holy Spirit. And that same Spirit reaches out to others. What we accomplish may not be as impressive as what was accomplished by Samuel. All Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. What we accomplish may not be as impressive as what was accomplished by Philip and Andrew and Nathaniel, disciples of Jesus, the apostles of the church. What we accomplish may not be as impressive as St. Paul with his preaching and his teaching and his letter writing. But after all, results are up to God. All we need to be concerned about is that we look and listen and recognize the call of God in the ordinary events of life, and that we respond, "Here I am. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." I had a friend in college who had a great problem with facial recognition. I guess it's one of the symptoms of a certain strand of autism. But she could not recognize people. She would walk up to someone she'd see in the commons area, "Hi, I'm Alice. I don't think we've met before." And the taken aback friend would say, "I've been living on your floor in the dorm for the past semester," or, "We're in the same lab group for the second year in a row now." But Alice just did not recognize people. She couldn't remember. She could tell. If someone was walking across campus toward her, she would recognize the gait and be able to know who that person was. But face to face, she couldn't put it together that she had ever seen that face before. I never thought that she was too arrogant to remember the little people, or that she was absent-minded, or that she was so absorbed in her own thoughts that she wasn't paying attention. She was just very bad at facial recognition. The good news for today, Jesus doesn't have that problem. Jesus always recognizes us. Even if we have no prior recollection of prior encounters with him, even if we don't recognize him or remember his name, he always recognizes our presence. Even if we don't acknowledge him, Jesus knows us. In the Gospel of John, Jesus always recognizes us, even if we don't recognize him. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they hear my voice." That theme of recognition and failure of recognition is a key theme in John's gospel. There are a number of encounters where Jesus helps people focus. They're standing there focused on their own problems, and Jesus is before them unrecognized, like the Nicodemus, who comes to Jesus in the night, or the woman at the well who only wants to talk about well water. Others do recognize Jesus, and they're healed and forgiven, and like his friend Lazarus, raised from the dead. Jesus always recognizes us when we do and when we don't recognize him. The good shepherd knows his sheep. He recognizes who we are meant to be, the children of God. He recognizes us even in the ordinary messiness of our lives, even when we aren't focused on him, even when we're focused on ourselves and our own concerns. Maybe in this season of time after Epiphany, this ordinary time in the church year, we can all work to work on improving our skill at facial recognition. Look for Jesus in every person. Look for Jesus in every situation. Be on the lookout for Jesus in the ordinary people around you and in the ordinary lives that we lead. Of course I recognize you, Jesus. We've met many times before. Amen.